time clock and working 9 to 5. We're talking about working around the clock, rain or shine, hot or cold, because crops and animals won't wait. Jimmy knows all about it because he lives it. And Jimmy knows what you're going through because he goes through it too. He's here to talk about it. It's seed and feed, chemicals and compost, vaccinations and irrigation. It's time for Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Hey, good day to all you great stewards of the land. It's the Today in Ag show with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO. Man, there for a second, I thought I was going to pull a male tellus on you. Anyway, currently right now, it's great Monday, 50 degrees. Humidity's pretty low. Don't start any fires out there if you don't have to. Southwest wind at 10 miles an hour, gusting up to 14 right now. I guess it's pretty enough that I'll go out there and finish my fence today. Rob's going to meet me out there this afternoon after the show, and got four more wires to go. So anyway, it was a crazy weekend, and around my place, I had the privilege of announcing the a hog show here in Elk City at the Convention Center. It was the first stop of the Southwestern Oklahoma pig show series, and I had a great time. I'll talk about that after in our next segment. Did a little deer hunting last night with the bow. What else did I do? Oh, how could I forget? I feel it today. I should have did my Pilates that my wife has showed me how to do before I got onto this. So I put a new oak floor in the gooseneck stock trailer. Got it in. 18 more big deck screws to finish up. I got them this morning, so either tonight or in the morning I'll finish that up. But I got me a brand new oak floor to the trailer, so I'm excited. We're streaming live on Facebook. We're streaming live on KECO FM on and the Paragon app. And so you get a chance to get on there and listen. Go ahead, and the text line is wide open. Anybody got any special little deals of heifers or cows or anything to sell, just texting in to me. I'll help you out a little bit. And then on the Hay-to-yo, hay, somebody's looking for some hay or got a little bit of hay to sell, just text it in to me. And if I got time, I will put some of that on the air to help out thy neighbor. Anyway, grain prices look great. There's holding in there. Cash grain prices in Oklahoma, hard red winter wheat is at $7.32 a bushel. Corn is at $6.02. Milo's at an even six. Soybeans at $13.23 a bushel. Oats are at $6.58, and cotton's at $1.15 a pound. So everything looking good there. Soybean futures were modestly lower in overnight trading, while grains were little change. Prices were down on some technical selling after an increase in the previous session and ahead of this week's World Agriculture Supply and Demand Estimates. From the United States Department of Agriculture. I think that comes out, what is it today, the 10th? So it comes out the 12th, I believe. It might come out tomorrow. From a fundamental standpoint, not much has changed. Prices may be lower on technical selling, but dry weathers in parts of South America is still underpinning prices. Brazil's has lowered its outlook for production in Brazil, the world's largest soybean exporter, to 133.4 million metric tons, and that's down a little over 10 million tons from their previous expectation. About 15% of the country's crop is blooming. Drought stress in Argentina, meanwhile, is expected to expand from about 40% of the growing areas to nearly 75%. That's a drastic change there. Rain is expected in the 16 to 30-day outlook for southern Brazil and much of Paraguay, the forecaster said. Still, there's chances of minor delays in the northern Brazil's early harvest. Showers also expected to ease dryness in parts of Uruguay and parts of Argentina. Soybean futures for March delivery dropped 4 cents to $14.06 a bushel overnight. On the Chicago Board of Trade, soy meal was unchanged at $425 even a short ton, and soy oil rose 0.13 cents to 58.91 cents a pound. Corn futures for March delivery rose a quarter cents to $6.07 a bushel. Looks like wheat futures for March delivery fell 1.5 cents to $7.57 a bushel, while Kansas City futures lost 4.25 to $7.70.75 a bushel. Money managers reduced their net long positions, or bets as we call it, on higher prices in corn while reducing bullish bean bets, according to the Commodities Future Trading Commission. Investors held a net 355,355 corn futures contracts in the 7 days that ended on January 4th. That's down from 362,531 contracts a week earlier. Spectators held 100,284 net long soybean futures last week, up from 99,000 the week before. Spectators held that's the largest bullish position in beans since the week ended on June 15th, according to government data. In wheat, meanwhile, investors held 51,190 hard red winter wheat future contracts, down from 58,000 the week before. That marks the smallest such position since the week ended on October 19th. Fund managers and other large investors remain bearish on soft red winter wheat, holding a net 22,707 futures concrete contracts last week. That's up from a bearish position of 14,174 contracts the previous week. Well, extreme cold continues in the Northwest and in the Northern Midwest, too. Extreme cold is again expected in most of the northern Midwest today, according to the National Weather Service. In northern Minnesota, a wind chill warning is in effect as values are expected to drop as low as minus 45 degrees. Brr. The warning is in effect till noon. The dangerously cold wind chills could cause frostbite on exposed skin in as little as 10 minutes. In North Dakota, meanwhile, wind chills range from 25 to 40. It's got to be minus, or why would they even say that? Minus 25 and 40. Light snow is expected in the southern Michigan and northern Indiana today. Accumulations should top out around an inch. Well, our week don't look too shabby around here. I'll have our Long Ranger provide it to you from Hobart Farm and Garden later on in the show. And we'll just go with that. Man, let's just take a break. When we get back, I want to talk about the hog show that was here Saturday and the couple that are coming up, and talk a little bit on the Cattle Congress, the Cattlemen's Congress. We had a local breeder around here. They had a champion there Saturday, I believe it was. It might have been Sunday, yesterday morning. But anyway, we've got a champion. But there's lots of people from our listening area up there showing and going. I've seen on Facebook that nothing else to say. Lots of people attending that up there, and it's turned out to be a great event. People from all over the nation are coming. It's good for the economy of Oklahoma City, including the economy of Oklahoma. And so anyway, we'll talk on that when I get back. And I got the cattle numbers from the sales from Texas and Oklahoma later on in the show. I got all kind. I don't know that I. We ought to just make this a two-hour show today, but we're not going to. But anyway, I know you guys don't want that much. So anyway, we'll be right back. It's Today in Ag on 96.5 KECO.
My background is in AI service. If you're doing that, you're more progressive. You're not going to the sale barn and buying a bull for the cheapest you can get. You're searching for better genetics. You're searching for a better quality product. Just like, do you go down to the used car store and buy the car with all the dents and dings, or do you want the new car? We decided we'd start building our own pretty vehicles rather than going paying the price for the pretty vehicle. B&L Red Angus. blredangus.com. You can find us on Facebook by searching BNL Red Angus.
Are you in the market to buy or sell cattle? Then don't miss Hobart Stockyard's weekly cattle sale in Hobart, Oklahoma. The sale's every Wednesday at 9:30 a.m. Buyers can bid in person or online. To consign, call Rex Fleming at 580-331-8547. That's 580-331-8547. Be sure and check out the market reports and each week's penny news. Hobart Stockyards, where we want your business and do appreciate it.
We've been part of Western Oklahoma's ag industry since statehood. I'm Marty Maddox from Great Plains Bank in Elk City. We proudly support our local FFA labor auctions and premium sales. Our local lenders have a combined 127 years of banking experience. We handle all ag-related loans, like land purchases, farm operating loans, and stocker lines of credit. And we recently helped over 700 area farmers and ranchers with their PPP loans. Great Plains Bank in Elk City is here to lend agriculture a helping hand. Member FDIC.
Great news, folks. Ron Hayes here to let you know SEI Agritech in Elk City is now your livestock nutrition center dealer. This is better quality feed and minerals for your cattle, horses, sheep, and goats. Plus, at SEI Agritech, you can buy everything from bulk to 50-pound bags. Call or go see SEI Agritech today about your feed and mineral needs. Their number, 580-225-0317. 580-225-0317. Better feed, better results.
Today in Ag is back with Jimmy Clark.
51 degrees. Jared just walked by and reminded me of something I wanted to tell everybody out there. I see on social media that a lot of people doing this 10-year challenge where you post a picture of what you looked like 10 years ago and a picture of what you look like today. Some of you people don't need to participate in that challenge, all right? I'm just throwing that out there. I love you, and I'm not going to name names, but some of you just need to stay off social media till this 10-year challenge is over with, okay? Just a heads up. That's the Jimmy tip of the week. Do not participate in the 10-year challenge on social media. Some of you still look great, but then there's them other ones that don't. So anyway, I guess that wasn't nice, but anyway, it is what it is. 51 degrees, winds out of southwest at 10 miles an hour, and wind gust up to 16. Text line is open. KCO Ag text line is open at 580-225-9697. Feel free to text in your thoughts, whatever you want to text in. I'll check them out and see if it's worthy of repeating on air. But anyway, so I was invited to announce there's a pick series going on. It's a three show pick series. It's starts at Elk City. Next, the one this Saturday is at Weatherford, and then the next one they'll end at Hobart, and it's called the Southwestern Oklahoma Pick Show Series. So anyway, I was invited to announce, and I got to go over there. It took me a little bit to get back in the groove. I mean, I participated in a lot of shows, but it just I had the jitters, I guess. But anyway, got to meet the judge that they had for this show, Jason Foote. He was from Lubbock, Texas, and he's got a 130 sow operation down there, so he knows his hogs. But man, you talk about a nice facility out there at the Elk City Convention Center. They had it set up, and they used sand in the ring for the first time. We had to stop once and let the ring guys water it down again. But other than that, it was a great show. The judge impressed me. Maybe not so much with all of his picks, but for the majority, he knew good pigs when he seen them. But even the kids that didn't place in the money that were excused from the ring, he walked up to almost every one of them and gave him a piece of advice. He never said what he said to him, but I could tell he was talking to him. Maybe, hey, slow your hog down, or hey, you're doing good, you got a good pig, or something. He talked to them all, and that's what those kids need, because those kids work so hard for these shows that when they get in there and you know, they're excused from the ring and they don't place in the top five, you know, it could be a downer, but we're there for them, because the next show they might be in that pen for first place, and the person that was in the pen the day before might be leaving that pen, excused from the pen. But it's all about learning to responsibility of taking care of an animal and watching your finances and all this other good stuff. But he did a really good job. And some of the stuff, I'm going to just name off the top five in the gilts and top five in the barras. In the gilt division, the top five is follows. The grand gilt was a hemp, and it was shown by Holden Winters. Reserve was a Burke, shown by Brindley Williamson. It only took me 10 times the other day to finally pronounce her name right, and it was the first one, not the second one. Third overall was a cross, shown by Holden Winters. And those winners were tough. They were, I think they're from Altus, if I remember right, but they were tough. There was a lot of tough people there Saturday. Fourth was a York Gilt, and it was shown by Kaylee Falesco. Fifth was overall was a spot, shown by Caitlin Bryant. And then on the Barra side, I wrote these down. I'm actually pretty good at reading my own writing here. The Grand Barra was a Burke, shown by one and only Lexi Smith here from Merritt. Reserve Grand was a cross, shown by Gage Winters. Here we go with those winners again. Third overall was my partner in crime here on the Today in Ag Show, Jancy Rimpetosh, with her cross barra. And fourth was a hemp, shown by Gage Winters. And fifth overall in the barra division was a Duroc, shown by Henley Cloud. I hope I didn't mess that up. Henley Cloud, I'm pretty sure I did. But the next step in the show series will be this Saturday at Weatherford at 10 o'clock. And then the next Saturday, it'll be at Hobart. So anyway, go out and support your kids in these shows and stuff. And then, the Cattlemen's Congress is still going full steam ahead. And oh, FYI, I didn't get fired from announcing on that deal, so I must have did something right. But man, I was talking to Gail, my partner in cattle out here on the west side of town, and she'd went up there to the Cattlemen's Congress Saturday, and she was just totally impressed. They had a good time, lots of beautiful cattle there. But today, they're welcoming a whole new wave of breeds at the Cattlemen's Congress. And this morning they started off with the open Maine Anjou maintainer show, and the Simmental and the full blood Simmentals and the Simmental junior breeding heifer shows going on right now. The Shorthorns had their national pen show over are having their national pen show in the performance area. And this afternoon, Kianina and Key Composite Junior Breeding Show, Heifer Show, will be this afternoon. And then they will close the day out today with the Summit National Shorthorn Sale. So they got sales going on, shows going on, and the whole nine yards going up there. Just to name off a couple, Grand Champion Open Full Blood Maine Anjou Female was shown by Tyler Lauden. And Reserve Grand Open Full Blood Maine Anjou Female was shown by Adi Burso. And anyway, the Grand Champion Open Maine Anjou Female was shown by Clint Maine. Reserve Grand Champion Open Maine Anjou Female was shown by Avery Belcher. Grand Champion Maine Anjou Bull, get on the Facebook page or on their website, you gotta look at this bull. It's just a beautiful specimen of an animal. It was Grand Champion Bull. It was from Buck and Morton Cattle Company, and then the Reserve Grand Champion Maine Anjou Bull was from Candace Moore. The Grand Champion Maine Angus Bull was shown by Hannah Schrouder. And then Reserve Grand Champion Maine Angus Bull was K&S Cattle Company. And I believe somewhere down the line, and maintainer female Grand Champion was born and raised right over here north of Canute on K-Bar Cattle Company, I believe. unless somebody was fibbing with me, but I don't think it was. Man, she is gorgeous. She's that one girl you want in your crowd, in your lots and on your place. She's beautiful. Anyway, I got to see a picture of her yesterday. So anyway, a lot going on up there. It's going to be going on. I think it ends this weekend, this Sunday or Monday, but you get a chance to sneak up there, go get her. There's something going on, and you can check their schedule out on their website if you want to. So anyway, we got, what was I going to talk to you guys about? The beef and cattle trade is really boosting the cattle markets, according to Professor Peel from the Oklahoma State University Extension Livestock Marketing. He's a specialist at that. Beef exports continue on a record pace in the latest data for November. Total beef exports were up 8.1% in November and are up 18.5% year over year for the first 11 months of the year. The China-Hong Kong market remains the fastest-growing beef export market, up 110% for the year to date. The China-Hong Kong market is the third largest marketing, accounting for 19.3% share of the total beef exports through November, behind number one Japan, who's got 24.2% of the share, and number two South Korea, which is at 23% of the year-to-date exports. Beef exports to Mexico are up 7% so far in 2021, but were down 36.7% year-over-year in the month of November. Exports to Canada were up 20.9% year-over-year in November, but are down 4.7% for January. Total beef imports were 27.5% higher year over year in November, but are down 1.8% from year to date for the January-November period. Beef exports from Canada were up 14.4% for the first 11 months of the year. Canada is currently the largest source of beef imports, accounting for 28.6% of beef imports this far in 2021. Mexico is second-ranked beef import source for year-to-date imports, up slightly 0.3% compared to last year. Mexico accounts for 20.1% of the beef imports through November. Year-to-date, beef exports from New Zealand through November were down 1.7%. Australia is currently the fourth largest source of beef imports, accounting for 12.4% of imports, and that's down from second place in 2020. Live cattle imports from both Canada and Mexico were down for the first 11 months of 2021. Total imports were down 17%. With imports from Canada down 7.1% and Mexico down 21.9% for the year to date. Cattle exports were higher to Canada and Mexico by 69% year over year from January to November period in 2021. Net cattle imports through November were down 32% compared to the previous year. Beef byproducts, which are mostly exported, has a significantly higher value in 2020. One, averaging nearly 54% higher year over year, byproduct values increase were led by sharply higher tallow prices, both edible and inedible, up 71% and 95% respectively. And hide prices up 62% year over year. Prices were also higher for liver, tongue, trip, and cheek meat. Weekly byproduct values peaked in November and declined to the end of the year, but were still 51% higher year over year in late December. Beef and export trade is projected to be generally supportive in 2022. Beef exports are forecast to pull back slightly in the coming year, but lower imports are also forecast this year. After more than a year of extremely rapid growth, the China-Hong Kong market for the United States beef was growing at a slower pace towards the end of 2021, but continued growth is expected and could push China, Hong Kong above South Korea, and possibly Japan in the foreseeable ports for the biggest three. The big three, we'll call them the big three. All right. Oh, I got one more thing before we go to break. I finally seen the picture. What do we got here? There it is. All right. I've been asked this many a times on the text message. What is the difference between grain finished or grass finished? Well, according to this, on grain finish, there's 22.6 grams of protein, 3.8 milligrams of zinc, and 1.6 milligrams of iron in grain finish meat. On the grass finish side, 21.8 grams of protein, 3.7 milligrams of zinc, and 1.8 milligrams of iron. We wouldn't notice the difference. Now, I'm sure you do in the taste, but as far as what the meat, what it's got in it, it's basically the same. Grain finished beef has a lower carbon footprint. They produce less methane and use less natural resources. Lean beef, grass or grain fed, is part of a heart healthy diet and contributes less than 10% of the total fat to the American diet. So no matter which beef you choose, all beef is raised responsibly, sustainably, and safely by your farmers and ranchers, providing for your family and yours. So I seen this meme the other day. I don't know if I still got it, but this lady was sitting at a table in a bar or a restaurant, whatever, and she was telling these other three people, I don't know if they was vegans or vegetarians, it don't matter. I'm not making fun of them, but it was funny what she did. She said, these are all natural plant-based. And then the next picture shows one of the guys asking her, what plant did this come from? Asking which plant growing came from. And then she turned around with a smirk and she says, a meat packing plant. That's the plant that she come from. So anyway, it's beef. It's what's for dinner. Anyway, I thought it was pretty funny. So anyway, well, we'll be right back. And I'm going to do a short update on the Boomtown Hog Show that was also at the Elk City Convention Center yesterday. So anyway, I'll do a little update on that. And we still got lots of cattle to talk about. And Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction actually is happening right now. And they were expecting 2,800 head in the yard today. So they're having a big sale over it. They're between Clinton and Weatherford today on I-40. And, of course, Jerry Nine and the Woodward Livestock Auction will be having their cow and bull sale tomorrow. So keep that in mind. Be right back after this. It's Today in Ag on 96.5 KECO.
This is the Elk City Livestock Auction Market Report for Friday, December 17th. 2,213 head were sold. 10 head of steers at 458 brought 206. 7 at 548 brought 161. 5 at 612 brought 153. 15 at 652 brought 146.50. 5 at 884 brought 144.50. 10 head of heifers at 342 brought 170. 8 at 454 brought 156.50. 6 at 503 brought 148.50. 3 at 598 brought 136. 12 at 660 brought 139.50. Butcher cows were 34 to 81. Butcher bulls 49 to 94. Bred cows 700 to 1150, pairs brought 635 to 2535. Elk City Livestock Auction, 3202 South Highway 6, Elk City, Oklahoma. Sale every Friday at 9 a.m. to consign. Call Brandon Hickey at 580-497-6095.
In this area, a lot of people wean their calves off their cows in the fall. Wheat's planted in the fall, and they buy calves. They take them to the sale barn or maybe private treaty. They run them through the winter on wheat. And some sell in March before they cut their wheat. Some take them through May and graze out their wheat and sell them in May or run them through grass in the summer. I have cattle. The guys I work with, they have cattle. I'm a fourth generational rancher. I'm Monty Carlson, and I help make a difference at First National Bank and Trust of Elk City and Sayre.
Member FDIC.
Is your cattle mineral investment being washed away? Weather can cause conventional mineral to absorb water and blow away. Simply put, your cows probably aren't eating it. That's why Purina created Wind and Rain Storm Mineral, a weatherized mineral that can stand up to the elements. Its larger particle size makes it harder to blow away and easier for water to pass through it. Keep money in your pocket. Contact Farmers Union Co-op of Elk City today.
The Day in Ag is back with Jimmy Clark.
Okay, 52 degrees. Winds are out of the southwest at 8 to 12 miles an hour. It must be beautiful. I hadn't been out of the studio since I got here this morning, but it must be beautiful out there with that kind of wind. That's not even a wind in your face with that deal. Let's check out something really quick. Let's check out, see the air temperatures in our listening area. Looks like there's a green spot on the Mesonet map. It looks like on the air temperature, it looks like our listening area is the warmest place in all of Oklahoma. Mangum's 50, Altus 48, Hollis 51, Eric's 54, Cheyenne's 53, Butler's 53. Way up there in Arnett, America. One of my favorite, I got a lot of good friends at Arnett. It's 50 degrees, and Camargo is at 53. So that's what's happening in our listening area. I'll throw one more in there. Hobart, 48 degrees. My buddy from California was the other day, and he was born and raised basically here in Oklahoma. He said, I'm thinking about going down there to Hobart. And I was like, man, I hope you do, and I hope you say that in front of somebody down there anyway. So he went to Hobart anyway, and I'm going to Hobart here in a couple weeks to the pig show. But, yesterday at the Boomtown Classic that they had, another hog show, back-to-back hog shows at the Civic Center here in Elk City. And by the way, if you've never been to a hog show at the Civic Center in Elk City, the way they had that set up yesterday, it's awesome. Nice pens. Our ring men, Chad, Jeremy, who else was out there? Brandon, I'm missing somebody else. Oh, Greg Hartman. And there's somebody else I'm missing. I can't remember. Anyway, there's four or five of them out there. They were trading off. And even though they had a late lunch Saturday, it's a nice setup. It's clean, nice setup. Well, according to my informant yesterday at the Boomtown Classic, Jancy Rimpeto, my partner in crime here at the radio station, was grand with her cross. And Lexi Smith was reserve grand with her Burke. So anyway, congratulations. Those two girls right there, and there was some more, the Carlson kids and some others, the Williamson kids, but there was a lot of good kids out there with showmanship skills. And there was a lot of kids coming in there that The pig was taller than they was, but learning it, and that's what the judge was doing. He kept going up to him, hey, you know, just don't worry, I'm seeing your pig. And he did. He honestly walked around and checked all the pigs. And just keep your eye on the judge and don't keep your pig slow down. So anyway, it was all good. Well, let's check out what the sale barn receipts was from last week. Today's my cattle day. I even got a little bit of hay. I'm going to slide in there, even though tomorrow, Tuesday, is my hay day. Tuesday after Lacey. So, compared to markets before the holiday, feeder steers, this is in Texas, feeder steers and heifers sold steady to $4 higher. Trade was active on good demand. The area still remains dry with only a dusting of dry snow over the holidays. So in Texas, 7,097 total receipts from that week, from last week, and then, or the last week they had a sale in Texas, which would be the week before Christmas. It doesn't have the date down here, so I'm sorry. Last report, it was 12/13 of December, and that was 5,576 head. But this time last year, there was 9,384 head sold in Texas. Feeder cattle made up 85% of that. Slaughter cattle made up 13% of that. And replacement cattle made up a little less than 3% of that. There was 6,005 head of the 7,097 were feeder cattle. And I'll read off three or four of these numbers right here. So there was some steers weighing 333. Average weight was bringing 211 to 218 with the average price $215.98 per hundredweight. Let's go to some 400 weights, 405 to 441 with 427 being their average, 195 to 211 a pound. And average price was $201.22 per 100 weight. 500 to 543's average weight, 523 was bringing $1.65 to $1.95 with the average price being $175.75 a 100 weight. Let's go to the 600 weights. 659 to 698 with 687 being the average weight. We're bringing $1.65 to $172 with the average price $168 per 100 weight. Then down here in the 700 pound range, 742 to 792 average weight, 769. Average price was $156.50 to $163 per hundredweight. Average price was $160.86 per hundredweight. That's your Texas sale barn receipt. Here we go with Oklahoma. We got, compared to the last report, which was on, they gave me the last date, 12/17 in Oklahoma, feeder steers were steady to $5 lower. Feeder heifers steady to $2 lower. Demand was moderate for feeder cattle. Steer calves under 500 pounds was $4 to $8 lower. Over 500 pounds, $2 to $5 higher. Heifer calves were steady, $2 to $3 higher. Demand moderate to good for calves. Weather remains very dry. Most of the state is in some stage of drought conditions. Yes, sir, all of us. The whole western part in Texas Panhandle and the Oklahoma Panhandle is in a D3. And if we don't get some more, we're going to move up to a D4. More calves would have to move to market due to the dry conditions. However, extreme cold and some snow moved through the snow through the state, reducing receipts at most sales. Calf prices remain relatively strong as feeder futures down to the road to hold strong. Several nice loads of cattle on offer at area sales this week. Yeah, we got some really good sales. Had some good sales last week. Slaughter cows sold unevenly steady. Slaughter bulls $1 to $2 lower. Packer demand moderate and demand for good replacement cows. So here's the receipt number from Oklahoma. Last week was 30,292. Last report, it was 45,864, and last year this time was 37,238 head. So we're down about 7,000 head. Feeder cattle made up 90% of that with 27,000 head. Slaughter cattle was at 2,300. Replacement cattle was at 868 compared to last year. It's about the same, just lower number. Well, let me rattle off some of these numbers. Whoa. The 209, there was 40 head, average weight was 209 pounds, brought $2.39 a pound, and they were thin-fleshed. Here in the 250 to 300 range, there was average weight was 275. They brought anywhere from $1.93 to $2.29. Average price was $211.63 per 100 weight. Let's go up to the mid-300s, 350 to 399. 127 head, actually, in this one, 186 to 225, with the average price being $206.79 per hundredweight. Let's go down here to the mid-400s. We had average was 477, 170.50 to 209.50. Average price, $193.69 per hundredweight. Get some in this 500 range, 500 to 549. Average weight, 524, 171 to 199.50. Average price was $187.75 per hundredweight. Then we got some in the, just some more 500 weights here at the bottom. Let's go to the bottom of the list. 529 average weight, $1.77 to 179, 178.33 was the average weight and our average price, and they were unwinged. Here, what, one more. 57 head, averaging 515, brought 216 per 100 weight. That's pretty good. So anyway, they were thin flesh. And then some fancy ones brought, in that same weight range, brought 199 $2.84 for this is than 5 weights, almost 6 weights. They're bringing $2 a pound. That's pretty good. So anyway, there's your report from the cattle receipts from the stockyards in Oklahoma and in Texas. So anyway, be right back after this. It's Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.
When we're all on the same page, things run smoother, work gets completed faster, life is easier. And that's exactly what advanced technology from Valley does. IconX brings all of your pivots together into one manageable network with full remote capabilities, regardless of the brand. Get the most out of your pivots at a fraction of the cost of a full panel upgrade. Valley IconX. Any brand of pivot. One connected network. Smart irrigation. This is Valley.
Contact your local Valley dealer. Knutson Irrigation. 1-800-373-9325 or online at KnutsonIrrigation.com.
This hour's weather brought to you by Hobart Farm and Garden. Complete nutrition for every animal, that's what you'll find in Hi-Pro Feeds. At Hi-Pro, their commitment to nutrition is unwavering. Buy the best and get the most out of every animal. Hobart Farm and Garden in Hobart, Oklahoma is your local Hi-Pro Feeds dealer. Providing quality feeds in bulk, bags, or sacks. See their ad in the Penny News and check them out on Facebook. See all they have to offer at HobartFarmAndGarden.com. That's HobartFarmAndGarden.com.
This is Jerry Nunn, owner of the Woodward Livestock Auction. First sale last Tuesday, January the 4th, we sold 786 cattle, bulls, and calves. Thursday, January the 6th, we sold 2,936 calves and feeders for a total of 3,722 cattle for the week. Tuesday, better killing cows bring 70 up to 76. Thin cows bring 45 to 6,350, with the bulls bringing 70 up to 92.5. 2 to 4 year old bred cows, 900 to 1610, with our 5 day year old bred cows, 810 to 1410. 9 and older bred cows, 18 to 925. 2 day year old pairs, 1200, 1450. And our 9 and older pairs, 960 to 1350. On our steer cattle, 3 to 4 weight steers, 181 to 224. 4 to 450, 178 to 203. 5 to 550, 171 to 191. 6 to 650, 149 to 170. 7 to 750, 150, 50 to 162. 8 to 850, 150 to 157.5. And our 9 to 950, 140 to 147. Heifers, 3 to 4 weight heifers, 151 to 163, 4 to 450, 152 to 164, 5 to 550, 144 to 157.50, 6 to 650, 142 to 155.5. We sold 84 heifers, one bunch, weighed 678, bring 151, 56 mates to them, weighed 736, bring 147. Our 7 to 750 heifers bring 139 to 152, with our 8 to 850 heifers, 133 to 142, 9 to 950, 131 to 134. For this Tuesday, January the 11th, we will have 75 black bred cows, 3 to 6 years old. We got 12 bulls, blacks and charolais, they're 3 and 4 year old guaranteed bulls. Plus, we have 40 other bred cows running age. We'll see you this Tuesday, 8 a.m. sharp. Thanks again, Jerry Nine and the Woodward Livestock Auction.
Jimmy's all wound up and ready to go. Here comes more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.
All right, 53 degrees, wind out of the west, southwest now, 8 miles an hour, 12-mile-an-hour gusts, and humidity's dropped to 21%. All right, forecast provided to you by Hobart Farm and Garden down there in Hobart, Oklahoma. Today, 54 for a high, so we're almost there. Tonight, this is in the mid-20s. Tomorrow, again, 58. Tomorrow night, 27, sunny, and 61. Thursday, 66. Friday, 63. Doesn't look like we're going to have any. Tomorrow might be the windiest day of the week, maybe. And that's up to 15 to 20 mile an hour, so no gusts will probably be 25. So it'll be a little breezy, but doesn't look terrible. But there's no moisture in the forecast, and I thought the weatherman was going to give us some, but Lacey will be here tomorrow, first part of the show. Maybe she's got some hope for us and talk to her about that. Wednesday, my guest on the show coming in the studios, Jimmy Emmons from Leedy from Dewey County coming in. We're going to talk about some soil health, and when I'm talking about that, he's got some stuff he wants to talk to us about, because this is going to be a whole new ball game this year with fertilizer prices and the way they are, and it doesn't look like there's no relief on the fertilizer prices. So anyway, everybody's got some major decisions to make in the near future, but if it doesn't rain, there's not a lot of decisions that can be made. But anyway, we'll see how it goes. Well, stability uncertain after the global food prices have surged 28% in 2021. World food prices soared by 28%, according to an index based on five major commodities, including cereals, grains, meats, and sugars, said the UN Food and Agriculture Organization last Thursday. The abrupt increase as the world recovered from the economic collapse that accompanied the pandemic ended 5 years of stability in the food price index. The largest increases were in vegetable oils used in cooking, dressings, and sauces. The sub-index, no matter what they say in Washington, it wasn't meat. But what it was this. Vegetable oil skyrocketed nearly 68%. It's the highest annual level ever. Cereal grains, including wheat, rice, corn, notched the second largest increase, 27%. Overall, the food index was at its highest level since 2011, the last year there was a big spike in food prices. While normally high prices are expected to give way to increased production, the high cost of inputs, ongoing global pandemic, and even more uncertain climate conditions leave little room for optimism about the return to more stable market conditions in even 2022. In the United States, food prices rose 6.1% in the past year, led by persistently high meat prices, the Labor Department said last month. Beef prices were up 21%. The Biden administration blamed big meat processors for using their market power to increase consumer prices and underpay farmers. Earlier last week, President Biden announced a four-point plan for increased competition in the meat industry, including vigorous enforcement of antitrust law. The FAO said sugar prices rose 30%. That's their highest level since 2016. Meat prices surged nearly 13%, and dairy prices were up 17%. While the economic recovery has boosted prices for soybeans and other oil seeds that are used to make vegetable oils, a boom in renewable diesel is creating a new market for vegetable oils. According to the American Bakers Association, he asked the EPA this week to scale back rather than increase its quota for advanced biofuels such as renewable diesel for this year. The EPA's proposed increase could jeopardize the ability of our members to meet the constant demand of providing millions of baked goods to grocery stores, restaurants, and federal feeding programs, said Lee Sanders, ABA Senior Vice President. That's because soybean oil, a critical ingredient for bakers, has been increasingly diverted away from the food supply chain and towards the production of advanced biofuels. So there you have it. And so there was going to, we'll see. I still didn't see anything in there that showed the beef was the highest. I know it's high, but there's a lot of other things out there high too. But beef is a lot, or buy a lot of that product. Never know. Let's see here. Oh, some of you guys have probably heard this, but there was a secret seed society in Michigan, and it continues to uncover weed seed. And I'm not talking about the smoking kind of weed. I'm talking about weed that grows out here in the pastures in our plowed grounds, answers that are 142 years old. And Lansing, Michigan has a rich history of research with one weed seed project more than 140 years old. And for the past 30 years, Dr. Frank Telsky, bet I got that right, has been a part of history at Michigan State University. I just grew this passion for plants, he said. His fascination with growing plants became an obsession as he grew older, as the obsession was fueled even more when he stepped into history in the 1980s when he was asked to be part of the project that was a century old. Professor Beal started this experiment back in 1879, he said. For 142 years, there's a secret seed society at Michigan State uncovered one of the world's oldest science experiments. The question was, how long can seeds remain viable in the soil, and particularly wheat seeds, because back in 1879, the latter part of the 19th century, we didn't have herbicides, we didn't have high-tech tractors and plows for tilling and cultivating. So Professor Beal, the namesake of the tradition, had one burning question about weeds. Professor Beal, being very much involved with agriculture here in the state and in the country, set out to answer the question to know how long the weed seed remains viable. With that question in mind, he gathered 21 different species of annual and biennial weeds and collected the seeds. Then he would do is count out 50 seeds of each species and mix them in with a sandy mix, and then fill them up in 20 bottles with the same mix of sand and the same number of seeds. And his plan was to excavate and get a bottle every 5 years. Those bottles were then buried in a secret location in the fall of 1879. Then he opened the bottle, he checked the contents, spread it out, put it in the greenhouse, and recorded what germinated. After Beal retired in 1910, the experiment lived on, and instead of every year, today the bottles are uncovered only once every 20 years. They're still time capsules of biology that are over 100 years old, and that to me is the fantastic, fascinating thing. Only a handful of people know where the secret seed spot is on campus. Just last year, a team of five were tapped to continue the tradition and opened up a bottle in 2021. They evacuate in the very early mornings. Grave robbers is what they are. I'm sure if they ever get caught doing that, that's probably what will come up. You don't want curiosity seekers to know where the bottles are, so we like trying to keep that under wraps. The only thing that is the sunlight can trigger can be a trigger for germination. Carefully dug up, just like Beal had done 142 years ago, then you wait. And usually 7 to 10 days is how long it takes for a seed to do it. So out of 21 weed species originally buried, only one is a survivor today. And it's called, it's commonly known as the Great Mullein. Talk about a survivor. I mean, this is a plant that's now survived in the soil for over 140 years, and we still get a high germination rate. You'll get 20 of the 50 seeds germinate, so that's 40% germination rate. In 2000, we had a 48% germination rate, and that's incredible. So anyway, that's a pretty cool story. I ought to do that with my cantaloupe seeds, see how long them cantaloupes go. But anyway, we're gonna start some gardening tips next week, so you guys don't be discouraged because I hadn't talked about it here lately. We got to be thinking about it. It's January, potatoes, all kinds of stuff coming up here pretty quick, sooner than you think it will. So, well, you guys all have a great day. Hope you enjoyed the show tomorrow. Lacey will be on tomorrow, and tomorrow's Hay Day Tuesdays, and got some hay reports coming out today. They'll be out today. So, anyway, I'll have them for you tomorrow. God bless and have a great day. You're listening to Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.